Yeah, so it is. You know what, Ollie? I think it is a weird one, isn't it? Because it's. It hit me this morning. It's like having a routine. And you're so used to. Well, I don't know. I'm so used to. I think we're also used to getting up, doing this. We've got our tasks. And then that just instantly that just goes away. Because yeah, I don't know about you, but one day you've got orders and the next day you get phone calls and emails. And then is that right for you? Or is that...
Yeah, I mean, for me, a massive part of it obviously is being a filmer. You go out on site and film with clients, and that's a massive part of what you do that just isn't there anymore. So it's quite a challenge to almost adapt to working from home and working on something completely different to what you're used to. I mean, so yeah, it's been a couple of weeks getting used to it and figuring out how to adapt for the time being. But yeah, it's getting there slowly. I'm able to work on other things that I've wanted to work on. So yeah, I'm just trying to use the time right now to work on things I wouldn't usually be able to work on. So trying to see the positives in it really at the moment. But yeah. Yeah, it's a challenging time for a lot of people. So,
yeah. Do you mind me asking where you kind of sit within the sort of, if you don't mind me being direct, the government handout? So you sort of, do you say handouts? It is handouts, isn't it?
Yeah, so I will get the self-employed help because I've been self-employed for more than a year, but we'll see how much that is when it comes to June. I haven't had any communications yet from the government as to what I'm going to get or how I need to apply for it. But yeah, I mean, so from that side of things, I will get some government help, so that's a good thing. But at the same time, I do still have money coming in from regular clients, still picking up little bits of editing work. So
yeah,
it's
cool.
Still, so yeah, so I had I do some stuff for in sort of office design company. I met them through another client of mine. But gone pretty well with the market manager there, and he emailed me end of last week and saying we potentially have some editing work coming up of just existing stuff that we want editing for social media into little packages. So would you be interested in that? Could you do a sort of a discounted rate? And I've just been saying to people sort of £20 an hour for editing of whatever content they want, really. So yeah, hoping to get started on that in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, that should be a nice little something to keep me busy for a day, which isn't bad. So
nice. And I think you kind of mentioned there, people talk about this is going to be the new normal, and you know, it's going to get back to some sort of normality. But I kind of think I don't know what the kind of business landscape is going to be like. You know, say we get to September, say we get to, you know, where we're allowed out and we're allowed to, you know, sort of meet in person again, what it's going to be like. Because part of me thinks, well, you know, they're putting all this money into the system, and then, you know, the economy is just going to one day just bounce back into action. But I don't know what it's going to be like. I mean, it's because, give a bit of background, you know, we share a common love in Cambridge United for our sins. And it's like, it's kind of weird. It's like one minute it's there, next minute it came out yesterday that Cambridge United's going into hibernation.
I think a lot of people, it's been a point where a lot of people have realised how important sport really is as a real key community asset. I mean, you take for granted going to the football ground on a Saturday afternoon and just seeing people that you see every week. And for me, you still are able to stay in contact. But I mean, for older members of society, that routine of going, knowing where they're going to be every Saturday, it's just completely gone. And I think that's something that a lot of people have realized how important that was. And yeah, I mean, it has to be back, sport does, and the government have to make an effort to support those sports teams because they are a key part of the community. I mean, you and me both know the work Cambridge United are doing in the community, and they're still doing. I mean,
it's tight. It is tireless, isn't it? And you know, people sort of say, "Oh, bloody Cambridge United, rubbish football team," and that's true. but it is that. I mean, who was Mark Bonner was delivering food parcels, wasn't he?
He's phoned up quite a lot of the elder fans to just sort of have a chat with them, basically, and see how they're doing. And let them know that he's missing being there as well. Because I think a lot of people, they almost can feel like they're the only ones that are missing out. But to have that community collective of everyone sort of in it together, I think that's an important thing that the club are doing, is making everyone feel like, yeah, we are in this together and we will come through it. And it's nice to see that people are being looked after by their football club, because for me, football, I mean, I used to follow Premier League football as well, and it just got to that point where it wasn't, you weren't part of anything, but with Cambridge United, you do genuinely feel like you are part of something. I think that's a really key thing, especially to live in the city and, yeah, be able to be part of that and have that in a city of this size as well, to have a club that is that in touch with its community and its city, it's important, I think. And it really will be important once we come out of this as well, that the football club is still there to support people. So,
because I can't help, because you talked about at the beginning, I can't help but feel that the FA, the government, you know, like you say, for clubs like Cambridge, you know, we can name, you know, every sort of lower league team, how it is a hub of the community. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you look at clubs like Macclesfield, where they were broke at the best of times, and now this has happened, I mean, they can't just let 40, 50 clubs go to the wall, can they? I mean, it's an odd one, isn't it? It's an odd one.
But yeah, it is. It's just a really, it's a situation I don't think anyone could ever have imagined. You just can't imagine that the country just shuts down. I never expected to see it in my lifetime. I know my dad, who's 60 years old, he's never seen anything like this in his whole working life. It's just when people like that, I mean, yeah, I look up to my dad quite a lot for sort of business advice and just general life advice. And when he's having to learn something new and how to handle it, that tells you the scale of the situation, really. So, it's one of those ones, really.
So you're saying earlier about what other stuff you're working on. Are you sort of putting stuff at the? Are you sort of doing some marketing? What type of stuff are you doing at the moment?
So I mean, one thing that I've really wanted to sort of get finished is like a proper show reel of what Enjoy the View is. So to really touch on everything from sports to corporate to the event side of things, basically condense that all into sort of a 90-second highlight reel and show what I'm doing. So it's been the last couple of days just looking through 2-3 years of footage and just compiling that all into a 90-second video. And that's sort of like the thing about doing video production is you do journal everything that you've ever worked on. You have it there. So to go through it, and I mean, I have, there's thousands of videos I have from sort of back when I was sort of 17, 18 skiing, which obviously aren't going to make the show reel, all the way through to now sort of the clients and the projects I've worked on, which is really sort of, it's nice to look back and sort of beyond what the actual finished video was, you can look through all the clips and you can hear what everyone's saying as you're filming them and how you're directing them. It's really, and yeah, so it's been nice to just look through things I haven't looked through in a while and sort of see how I look at it differently now. So yeah, that's what I've been working on recently, and it's quite nice to just, yeah, look back on good memories, nicer times out in the sun filming. So, yeah.
So where you are today, so tell everybody sort of how you started, you know, how you got into it. Just give us your, you know, sort of, give us your sort of background.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tough to know where to start, really. I mean, so I didn't really have that much of an interest in sort of videography initially. I was just interested in taking photos. Basically, I bought my first camera when it's the 2012 Olympics. So I'd had a work experience job all summer to basically save up to buy a camera, because just wanted to have a camera to almost just learn it a bit more and have a new skill, really. Nice. But yeah, I never really thought it would take me anywhere. And for the first couple of years, it was just taking photos and sort of messing around on the video aspect of things.
So you said you were at the 2012 Olympics. Did you go? So you got sort of a press pass for the Olympics?
So my family had tickets to go and watch the handball. So I thought it's the Olympics coming to London. It's probably going to be again once in a lifetime sort of experience. So I wanted to capture it better than a little point and shoot that my parents had. So I thought, well, I've worked all summer for having a nice camera, so may as well buy it now and just, yeah, capture those memories. I still have the photos somewhere. I made a little video as well, and I think that was probably the first video I made. And that sort of did spark a bit of a, oh, it's quite fun to do this. It's quite fun to go out and film lots of different things. And I continued doing that, sort of little videos of family holidays, sort of as I went into sick form. And then in sick form, I was able to have 2 days off a week. So I had Tuesdays and Fridays off, and that gave me an opportunity to sort of think about what do I want to do. So when I was in sick form, I didn't do anything to do with video or media. I'd done business studies, ICT and travel and tourism. So it was kind of like a nice base of subjects that would give me an opportunity to go into a variety of things, I thought. But as I was going through sick form, I sort of thought, yeah, video's becoming more and more interesting to me. I'd started picking up a few bits of work for different people. And then the second year of sick form, I met a couple of my ski friends, Keir Sheehan and Mason Ferriby, who are over in Milton Keynes. And that was really what sparked everything for me. So as soon as I met them, we just started uploading our ski videos to the internet. They started getting quite a good reception. The management at Snow Zone in Milton Keynes started taking notice. And sort of 6 months in.
So you're uploading it on, I'm sounding like I'm from the Stone Ages. So what were you uploading it onto? Sort of, was it Instagram back in those days, or?
So Instagram was about sort of back in, I can't remember how, it would have been 2014, 2015. So Instagram was about, but in freestyle skiing, there's a website called newschoolers.com, which is almost like, I guess it would be like a cross between a news website and YouTube and Facebook and everything for basically freestyle skiing in North America, and then it was starting to get popular in Europe. So here was us three British kids uploading our videos of skiing in Milton Keynes with all these guys that are in sort of the Rocky Mountains and stuff. And yeah, we started to get some attention there. Obviously got attention from the Snow Dome in Milton Keynes. So I managed to get the opportunity to start doing some regular work for Snow Zone in Milton Keynes, and that's where I met Tom Boddington, who was the events manager at the time. He's gone on to more things since then, and we'll touch on those later. But yeah, he was a massive part of sort of forming who I was as a videographer when I was younger. So he was this snowboarder who'd been around in Milton Keynes for years and years, just one of the locals, like just looked after everyone kind of thing. And he invited me in there and sort of said, look, do you want to come do some work for us? We'll have lots of various projects for you to work on, so you'll get the experience, but you'll also be able to sort of hang out with your friends still and make videos of them. And that was a really useful thing for me, was to be able to have so much fun doing what I really was starting to love doing now and getting paid for it as well. And yeah, it just, that was a massive thing for me. Got to meet lots of people from around the UK who'd come and ski at Milton Keynes on a Friday night. So that helped expand my sort of contact base.
So is there a kind of like a little thing in Milton Keynes? Is that sort of a hub for sort of knowing nothing about the subject, about for freestyle snowboarders? Or is that?
Yeah, so Milton Keynes, it's one of 6 indoor ski centres in the UK. And it has always been known as sort of the bigger slope almost. So in freestyle ski and snowboarding, you have rails and jumps. In the UK, obviously, you can't have massive jumps, you can't have massive rails. And that's genuinely sort of what the theme is across the UK. It's quite small rails and quite small jumps. But Milton Keynes, with Tom Boddington there, they always made an effort to almost try and be like what the mountains are. So they had quite big jumps, much bigger rails. So it's a more challenging slope to ride at. And it became the place, if you wanted to be someone in UK skiing or snowboarding, you had to ride at Milton Keynes to prove yourself. So being there, being the person that was making the videos of all the people on a Friday night, you got to meet really some of the best up and coming talent, as well as some of the best snowboarders that are around at the moment. I mean, I met a snowboarder called Ollie Dunn, who is a notorious snowboard film. He's notorious for being in snowboard films that are watched all over the world. He was picked up by Adidas Snowboarding when they got into snowboard. So to sort of, again, meet someone like that and have the opportunity to film for him and sort of almost be taken under his wing again when you're a youngster, it's quite nice to get those opportunities to film with someone so good and really help get your name out there as well. So, yeah, I mean, being at Milton Keynes was a real growth point for me, and it allowed me the opportunity to go to other slopes around the UK once I got a car and was able to go to other places. So I went with Mason all around the UK. We've been to places like Castleford, Stoke-on-Trent was another sort of big place in the UK ski scene specifically. And yeah, we just spent the summer traveling around the UK, basically filming ski videos. And it really helped sort of push our names out there, and just having fun really was what it was about, while also working on more of the business side of things.
So the way you're talking is almost like the guys you were working with were kind of, dare I say, mentors. You know, they would kind of see you a young lad and they were sort of like, you know, giving you a gentle push, and they were very supportive.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, everyone's always, I mean, that's the thing about sort of UK skiing and snowboarding. It's such a small community that everyone really does have to look out for each other, and everyone wants to sort of be together. And it's not like, it's a really hard thing to explain unless you have experienced it, but it's not a team sport at all. But when you're all together, it does, like, you can go to a competition with 50 people there, but it feels like no one's really competing against each other. They're all trying to push each other to that next level.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people in that sort of scene, they tried to push me to the next level with filming. So where they could push themselves with the next level of skiing, they could also push me with the next level of filming, how to get better shots, how to sort of challenge yourself and go to new slopes and sort of try and experience those in a sort of situation that you wouldn't be used to filming in. So yeah, I mean, yeah, everyone was trying to push me, but they were also trying to give me the opportunities to, yeah, try and expand sort of my horizons almost, as it were. So yeah.
That's a really lovely sort of, it sounds like a really lovely atmosphere where they are just, there are, you know, they are competing against one another, but for a title, I guess, but they are sort of pushing each other and wanting each other to do well. That's, I don't know how many, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of other sort of sports where you kind of get that.
It's a really rare thing. I mean, even on the biggest scale. So there's an event in London every year called the Telegraph Ski and Snowboard Show. 2019, Turkish Airlines sponsored the main competition there, which was skiers versus snowboarders, with flights to Istanbul as the main prize. And even then, the skiers and the snowboarders were pushing each other. They were competing, but at the same time, they both just wanted to see each other do bigger tricks and sort of get the crowd more excited, because I think that's the thing about a sport like skiing and snowboarding, is it's such a niche thing that you want more people to come and join you almost. And that's the mindset of a lot of people, is they don't want to compete. They want people to come and join and make it a bigger sport and make it more popular in the country, and to basically see more people have fun. So that's been a massive, part of what skiing and snowboarding is, but it's also been a massive part of what me and my friends were doing in terms of trying to make ski videos and put them online. We were trying to make people think, wow, what is this sport basically? Like, how do I try it? Like, how do I do what these guys are going to do? And to make them go to their local slope was a massive part for a year or two of my life, just trying to go around to as many places and show people what we could do and then upload it online and try and get more people involved. And yeah, it was
excuse my ignorance, so it's like snowboarding and skiing, but just sort of replicating what you'd do on a skateboard, exactly,
there's sort of massive jumps that people go off and do backflips and spins, and then you have rails that you ski down on and snowboard down on. And yeah, it's really one of those things that you almost need to see to know exactly what it is. But yeah, it sort of is, it's like a skate park that's on snow, basically, is the way that if you were to explain it to someone, that's how I'd explain it. And it's the half pipe as well. There isn't any in the UK anymore. There was one in Sheffield, but that burnt down. So unfortunately, we don't have a half pipe in the UK anymore, but there are. So there is the opportunity for a lot of British skiers and snowboarders to go abroad and train for their whole winter season, where they can train in a half pipe. So there are some half pipe skiers that compete for the UK in the Olympics. So there is the opportunity to do half pipe as well, but it's not as popular in the UK. I mean, a big thing for UK skiers and snowboarders is rail riding, because obviously we can't have massive jumps here, but we can have quite technical rail setups. So one of the things about skiing and snowboarding is doing lots of spins and stops and stuff on the rails as you go on and off them. There's the opportunity for UK skiers and snowboarders to get really, really good at that in a really short space of time.
There's a note, Is there no facilities up at Newmarket Road? Because there's a new ice rink, or is that just an ice rink?
That's just an ice rink there. So at the moment, I mean, the closest facility for us in Cambridge is either the Snow Centre in Hemel Hempstead, which is, yeah, I think 50 minutes, or there's Snow Zone in Milton Keynes, which is an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the idea when companies were building the snow centres in the UK sort of 15, 20 years ago was to essentially build a snow centre that was within 2 hours of most people. So they're strategically placed across the country. So there's one in Hemel Hempstead, there's one in Milton Keynes, Tamworth, Manchester, okay, Castleford, Leeds, and then Glasgow. And then there's two new ones that are going to be opened in Middlesbrough and Swindon in the next 5 to 10 years. So that will really cover the whole UK demographic pretty much of being able to be within 2 hours of an indoor ski or snowboard centre. So I think in 5 to 10 years, you could see a lot more kids coming through in ski and snowboarding, which is obviously, it's great for the Olympic team. We are starting to do much better on snow at the Winter Olympics now. So we've had bronze medalists in ski and snowboard, I think, now. We're doing quite well on World Cups, which is quite a big thing for skiing and snowboarding. I've had a couple of my friends that I filmed with, and when we were younger, they've gone on to compete in Europe and place quite well at Europa Cups and World Cups over the past two seasons. So it's quite nice to see where we've come from and now where they're at now. And yeah, being able to compete with sort of some of the best up and coming talent across Europe, to be from the UK and still manage to do that as well, it's quite impressive. So yeah,
happy days. So yeah. I love all this. I never knew all this stuff about you. So you started sort of filming skiing, snowboarding, and then I mean, I first saw your work even before I knew you at Cambridge United. So do you find some of your like techniques and some of the angles and some of the cuts, if you like, you learnt on the ski slopes?
Yeah,
you've kind of taken in and taken into your football.
Absolutely, I think a lot of what I learned initially with the camera from skiing, I've taken into a business aspect as well as just being able to improve on what I've learned from the basics. I think a lot of skiing is being able to follow people with the camera. So obviously being able to ski with a camera is quite a unique thing to be able to do. So being in that situation of trying to ski with a camera, it doesn't really make me worry too much about getting a certain shot when I'm on my feet, because I'm so much more balanced on my feet. So I feel like I can push myself to get more difficult shots almost when I'm on my feet, because I've learned to do it on skis. So I feel like that was quite an important thing.
Well, I didn't realise that. Sorry, because I only ever see you at the side of the pitch static, but you were on skis actually filming them. Sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got like a bank of photos from when I was younger of me sort of following my friend Mason off jumps and stuff. And like, there's this one shot that one of the photographers took sort of 5 years ago, it must have been, of these two jumps, basically either side of the slope, and Mason's jumping between them, and I'm sort of underneath him, following, pointing up with a camera at him. And yeah, that's a really, one of my favorite shots, I think, that has to be of me. It just, people sort of see it and they're like, wait, you're on skis as well, kind of thing. And it's, yeah, so that was a thing for me of, yeah, being on skis and then being able to almost take that comfort of knowing I can get pretty difficult shots on skis to just go onto my feet and walk around and be able to get them. I think another thing that was really important was in skiing and snowboarding, you only have one chance to get that shot. So it really set me up for being in an event situation or quite an important situation of, you have one shot to get this bit of footage, so you have to get it. And that's quite important in football, obviously, because when they score a goal, you can't say, oh, sorry, guys, missed the shot, can we do it again? You have to be there expecting it. So, yeah, being set up to just expect anything and be able to get that shot is quite a key thing for me in terms of now sport, going into sport videography, so rugby, football. Yeah, being set up to know what's going to happen, expect what's going to happen kind of thing, and just, yeah, be ready to capture it in that moment. So, yeah, I think that's a key thing for me.
Because I was looking down, I was just writing a note. Can you, Patrick Mason, can you get that shot when we're done here, can you get that shot and sort of send it over, and I'll attach it to the Facebook page.
I'll find out. Yeah, I'll get a few photos for you, and from the old skiing days. Yeah.
So did you ski yourself then, as in for fun, or
how? Yeah. So before I actually bought a camera, what I wanted to do was probably, there was almost this point in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to do at all, and that was sort of from 13 to 17. And at that time, it was probably going to be go on a ski season, try and do some sort of job within skiing, basically either become a ski instructor or something similar to that is what I wanted to do. And then I bought a camera, and sort of my mindset completely changed. And I was like, yeah, this is what I've got to do. So, yeah, so originally it was, do something with skiing and sort of to have the opportunity still to do stuff with skiing. So I still get the opportunity to go around the UK from time to time and film with my friends. I was supposed to be going out to Switzerland right now, actually. I was supposed to be in Switzerland filming the British Championships, which would have been great. I get the opportunity to film the Telecraft Ski and Snowboard Show in London. Because
that's the big one. That's the big one, isn't it?
That's the main event for UK skiing and snowboarding. It's where all the holiday companies will be at selling their holidays. It's where a lot of the big brands will be at showing off their new season kit. And it's where basically the UK's sort of winter holiday season kicks off. Essentially, it's the end of October, so right before all the resorts open. And yeah, it's just a big 4-day festival of skiing and snowboarding. So to be the videographer for that, sort of be able to film with guys like Billy Morgan, who won bronze at the 2018 Winter Olympics, and sort of be on a first name basis with him, it's quite cool, sort of growing up. And
nice.
Yeah, so it's a really great event to be part of. So that sort of to be that kid that was sort of 17 years old, filming videos with your friends, uploading them online for Americans to comment different things about them, to now be able to be the videographer for that big event. It's quite a nice sort of story of how you've, and you can see how you've grown through that. So it's really, really nice for me to sort of look back and think, yeah, it's a good job I stuck with it kind of thing, to have those opportunities.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've got to pick you up on that. You were saying, so you used to upload videos onto the website, and then Americans would say, what are you doing on our patch?
Yeah,
or something.
Pretty much. It was sort of like, oh, what are these British kids doing in their freezers, basically? That was the comment a lot. It was, these kids are in their fridge kind of thing, uploading ski videos. And it's quite, they thought it was quite funny, but obviously they were quite impressed with what we were doing with such a small, sort of almost compared to the stuff that they had, to then be able to do the same standard and level of tricks that they were doing. It was, it was obviously quite impressive to them to see, and they still get to see what we do up to this day. So we still try and upload videos when we get together. I mean, the opportunities are much smaller now. It's mainly big competitions that we get the opportunity to film at now, but when we do it, there is a really good reception. With Instagram now growing, we're able to get 4,000 views sort of on a sort of 1-minute clip, which is quite impressive. So yeah, it's been able to, Instagram's been a massive part of growing what UK skiing is and really pushing it to the world, I think.
So where how much have you seen that the industry's grown over these last few, or since you've been involved? Is there a noticeable sort of growth in the industry? Is there sort of more traction in there? Is there more people going to events? I mean, barometer?
So you can almost judge skiing in so many ways. It's how many people have sort of started getting involved in it now. I mean, when I was younger, it was, I don't know how many people were necessarily involved in the whole UK scene, but you can see right now there's a lot more young kids getting involved in it. So when I was younger, there wasn't as many kids getting involved in skiing and snowboarding. Nowadays, you can go to a competition, so the same competition every year, and each year you'll see 30 or 40 new kids there ready to sort of start competing and pushing themselves. So you can see that from where there was sort of like 5 people getting involved every year or something, you're now seeing 30 kids getting involved. It's quite a growth. I mean, UK snow sports put a lot of money into coaching these kids as well, so you can see that growth as well. There was nothing like that when I was younger, to have the opportunity to get free coaching. But now there Snow Sport England runs a project called the Futures Project, which is for kids who are getting into freestyle skiing and snowboarding to have free coaching at different slopes across the UK, so Stoke-on-Trent, Halifax, Milton Keynes, all sorts of places across the UK, and it just makes freestyle skiing and snowboarding more accessible to them, and the opportunity to get high level coaching. And that's something that was never around when I was younger. So I think that's going to, again, be another massive part in growing the industry. But also you can see that there's more money in the industry. There's companies that are willing to sponsor certain projects. So if a skier wants to go abroad or they want to make a video part, a company will put money behind that where they didn't before. There's sort of bigger prize money in certain competitions now, which is another sort of sign that the industry is growing, when there can be more money put in to attract more riders to a competition, basically. So yeah, I mean, and then obviously with Instagram, you can see there's so many more kids uploading their videos online to sort of get them seen. So yeah, you can really see that the industry has grown from where it was a few people uploading videos, a few people getting involved, a little bit of money for winning the competition, to now this thing where it's really grown quite a lot in the last sort of 5 years, I'd say. So yeah,
happy days.
Yeah,
so really so what's the next things for you now? So because as you were talking about you know what you've been up to, I was thinking about you're going to get into sort of with your video work, get into sort of drone work, and because I've seen, I mean, in my ignorance or in my little experience, I've seen people, especially in the sort of skiing realm, the sort of mountain bike realm, where you've got the kind of the GoPro on a drone, yeah, and so you can follow that the rider or the skier from above them. So there is
sort of drones used in video and all sorts of things. Personally, I don't have a drone license, so I can't use a drone to do paid work, so it's not something that I can currently do at the moment. I have sort of, it's always been there in the back of my mind of, should I get into drone stuff? But at the same time, it's quite a big sort of commitment to get into drone. So you have to buy the drone, then you have to learn to do it, then you have to get a license. It's definitely something that it would be nice to sort of do, because yeah, it's just another thing that you can offer as part of your services. So but yeah, at the moment I do have a friend who does drone stuff, so I'm able to use him if and when I need to. But yeah, no, I think drone stuff would be the next logical step for me in terms of expanding what I offer now. But I think it's more figuring out where I want to go in filming and things at the moment. Basically, it's still sort of, do I want to go down a sports route? Do I want to go down sort of a corporate route almost? Or do I want to build a business that's going to offer both of those kind of things? I think at the moment it's about building a business that's able to offer both of those things. So that's.
So when you say build a business, as in the respect that you sort of build up a reputation and then things build, and then perhaps somebody else, or you, somebody else does corporate and you do sport, or vice versa, is that not somebody else?
That would be sort of the idea, is to build up certainly a reputation in Cambridge of being the go-to sports person. I mean, to being working with Cambridge Knights, that's quite a big thing already. Of, you've got the biggest sports club in Cambridge, basically, on your side already. So that's quite a big thing of growing the sports side. And it's now thinking about growing a bit more of the corporate side of things, working with more local businesses. And yeah, so that's, it's a thing of still figuring out where I want to go. At the moment, it's one of those things where I've always been a person who just wants to see where things go and always enjoy what I do. So it's one of those things, if you don't know how exactly you want it to go, but once it starts going in a certain way, you'll be able to know, is this the way that I do want to go, or do I need to change things, basically. And that's, at the moment, it doesn't feel like there is anything that I really need to change. I mean, yeah, it seems to be going in the way I want it. I mean, getting more sports clients, getting more corporate clients. So yeah, it's just a thing of continuing growing, continuing putting out work that I'm proud of, and obviously that's pleasing clients. So yeah, it's just, that's the growth for me, is to just keep making business happy with what I'm doing for them, and we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, definitely thinking about growth more now, in terms of maybe getting another person on board. But yeah, at the moment, obviously things have all stopped, haven't they? So
yeah, they have. But it's funny, it's the way you were talking about it, you know, if you carry, you just, you know, in a way, you're kind of making your decisions, I think, on sort of how you feel, as in the respect that, you know, you'll feel your way. If you feel that there's traction going this way and you're enjoying it, you're producing good content, that will be your guiding sort of principle rather than perhaps a written strategic plan. You know, do you know what I mean? I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too, that's quite a tough question. It's sort of, yeah, it's just, I mean, obviously it's sort of like my first time ever being in business. So it is a lot of those things of, it's combining what you do enjoy doing with a successful business. And at the moment it has been a relatively successful business for a 23-year-old. Obviously as I get older, it needs to be more and more successful. And that will involve, I guess, bringing other people on board at certain points to do things and be able to grow what I want to be able to offer. But yeah, no, this time has, I mean, this time being sat at home, it has provided those opportunities to sort of sit down and think, look, how am I going to do these certain things? And it's still working out, like, at what point do I need to bring someone on board? At what point do I need to offer this service? At what point do I need to change pricing for this kind of thing? And it's figuring all those questions out at the moment. But at the moment it's been, it's just been getting the work in regularly. A lot of clients coming back to me, which has been obviously quite a key thing in sort of guiding me in terms of knowing, yeah, I am sort of doing the right thing. I'm offering sort of the right services. I'm keeping them happy. They're coming back to me. So, I mean, that's been the way that I've always guided myself. If people are stopping, if you're not getting new clients and you're not getting your regular clients come back to you, you're probably doing something wrong. And at the moment, everyone's coming back, I'm still getting new clients. So that seems to have been the way I've guided myself for the moment. And it's grown it that way. But
cool. Well, I think Zoom's going to kick us off in the next couple of minutes. It's pretty obvious where people can find you because it's emblazoned right behind you. But you've got your contact details there. Are you on Instagram? Ooh. There we go. There he is.
Yeah, there we go.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram as well. The username is EnjoyTheViewUK. It's a big red logo with a camera, so you won't miss it there. Try and post quite regularly on there, sort of what I'm up to, different projects. Once they're finished and once they're live, LinkedIn's another great place. Quite keen on LinkedIn at the moment, trying to connect with as many local business people as possible. So the username there is Oliver Kane, and then the business page is again Enjoy the View, and then Facebook as well, it's also Enjoy the View. So
happy days. Cool. Brilliant. Good nice speech, one, yeah. Good old boys. Yeah. See you soon, mate.
See you in a bit. Bye.
Bye.